This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
11 o'clock hour here on a Wednesday. It's Cody in Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day here in about 17 minutes or so. Reminder, Josh Vernier on a Wednesday will join us coming up at 12:30. We'll get to what Terry Bradshaw had to say. And I don't know who he dislikes more, you or Aaron Rodgers. We'll play some of that audio.
Tough to say.
For those that have been with our show for a bit, you know exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to Terry Bradshaw and Cody. So we'll see if we can find that clip. We got to find that clip again. I think we have it ready to roll. We'll get to that in about 8 minutes or so. But we know where the Royals are at as we sit on May 28th here in 2025. And so I wanted to take a look and not only how you were feeling a year ago at this time, but where they're at even when it comes to the actual record. So and just a refresher for everybody, this year currently they are 29-27. I'm not gonna even get into like where they are in the standings, because the AL Central right now, like frankly, that part doesn't really matter. It's
more about crazy division.
It's more about where they are at above 500 and where they're gonna have to be to occupy a playoff spot as we get closer and closer, and I'll talk divisional stuff much later on into the season. On this exact date a year ago, they were 34-22. They were coming off 3 straight losses, by the way, actually, but they were 34-22.
Wow, so they were actually quite a bit better if we had started this conversation 3 days earlier.
They were 12 games above 500 at this same point. It was just complete coincidence. The pitcher they lost to on Tuesday, May 28th last year, was the same pitcher who got demoted to Minnesota, who pitched against Cags in AAA last night. But anyway, Smith Woods Richardson or whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah.
He pitched against Cags last night, and Cags was 0-for-5 with 2 strikeouts.
Well, he's a pretty good pitcher, or no,
he just got demoted. But he's got major league experience.
He does have a lot of, he's had a good season at the majors. Yeah. I don't know. Either way, Cags had a bad night, which we'll get to.
Later. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not.
He is human.
Oh, no!
He is human. I thought he was going to hit 5 home runs every week the rest of his career.
I thought it was going to be like high school baseball. He was just going to hit like 560 in AAA with 7 million homers.
Yes, no.
But yeah, last night he got worked over by Woods Richardson.
See how he bounces back tonight.
In that game. Yeah, that's really what matters. Or before you guys go see him this weekend.
Yes.
I think it's a pretty simple question of, And I actually think it's a fair one, because that the reason I like this is because your gut instinct is just say, if you're asking me who the better team was, it's last year's team. They were 12 games above 500 at this point, dum-dum. It must be that's the case. And I'm like, honestly, I'm not that quick on it, because here's the truth. There's one area that I know for sure is better. That's the bullpen. Night and day. This is not even a conversation. This year's bullpen is so much better than last year's bullpen. It just is. It's even better than the improved version of the bullpen they eventually got to come playoff time. So that's a dramatic improvement. The starting rotation, statistically, is also better. But even if I'm just being generous and I call it a wash.
The offense, man.
The offense is quite a bit different. Last year's offense finished 13th best in baseball at 4.46 per runs. The current Royals baseball team is third to last at a full run, actually 1.1 runs less than last year's team. But honestly, it's still Garcia and Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez and Vinny Paz. It's not anybody different. So, like, if you honestly ask me, and I'm not even just saying, I think this year's team is better.
No, I'm not saying
they're playing better,
but
I think this year's team is a better constructed, better talent. I think it's a better team. I think they are playing worse.
Yeah, at what point? So a couple things. I hear what you're saying. A couple things. At what point, though, the results have to be the results, right?
Sure.
Right? I mean, the results have to be the results.
But if we're talking about a difference of two or three games, I mean, the results, you know, like, I'm not going to be like,
but we're not, though.
No,
right,
I understand.
Now they're right now, they're 9 games different, I guess.
Sure,
right? Or whatever it would be.
But if they finish the difference between, like, let's just say,
at the end of the season, for sure. I'm totally with you. Yeah, I get what you're saying. So the thing is, I don't even know if I can agree. I agree with you, obviously, on bullpen construction. No, I mean,
just
no brainer.
There's no even argument.
The rotation has performed better. It's not constructed all that different. It really isn't.
No,
it's performed
but that's
kind
of like the offense, right?
But
constructed similar. I said, even if I'm just saying it's the same.
But constructed wise, I mean, their opening day left fielder and right fielder are not with the big league club.
One's they weren't
not
that good last year.
But I'm just saying, though, like, they've already had to replace a left fielder and a right fielder. Their catcher, who maybe is a future Hall of Famer, is looking like
significant dip.
A 34-year-old at present day, unfortunately. You know, so I get what you're saying. It's not if the Royals were 12 games above 500 a year ago at this time, which they were, and this year's team was 7 or 8 games above 500, I think I would be more on board with you of like, oh, it's really not much different, or it's better. You know, that they're now only 2 games above 500. I went and looked, and how many times have they played the White Sox so far this year?
Just the 3-game set.
They played them already. This would be your argument, and I think you could use it for your case.
Love to.
They already had played the White Sox 7 times last year at this point.
So there's 4 of the games difference. So of the 9,
I will give you that. I will concede that schedule wise, they still have some White Sox in there this year, and they had already played them 7 times a year ago.
I think it might just look different in the end, but that we're going to get
base running's worse, defense is worse, offense is worse, pitching's better on both the starting end and the bullpen.
They were not a particularly strong defense last year. I don't think they're worse on defense. Base running, I'm not going to argue that. They are, or at least in execution, they're worst. They're not like the players again aren't different in the base running category, but in execution, they're definitively worse because they keep running into boneheaded plays. The Royals are kind of a fascinating case study last year because what they did was probably what would make you more comfortable. Gold, they got to 12 games above 500 and then essentially just rode that out the rest of the season. The mark you're mentioning at this 56-game mark, they played 500 baseball the rest of the way. They're playing what the Royals are playing now, 500 baseball. I think it might come at a different stretch, but if I'm just talking about the construction of the parts, this is a better team. And
offense is so bad. Cody, it's so bad.
It's so bad. I know, but like, I think we're just like mind erasing. The bullpen was atrocious last year.
And at the end of the year last year was bad. Once Vinny went down, they obviously were playing way worse.
Oh, the offense was really bad the last 5 weeks. Yeah, but that was post an injury. Makes more sense. Actually, you feel worse about it now because last year it made sense why they went down. One of their best hitters wasn't in the lineup.
But what you're saying
this year, some of the hitters are there and they're not performing.
I'm talking about, I think you are too, but like, I'm talking about like as of today, May 28th, not what I still think they can be. Because if Cags gets called up at some point, and by the way, there's a very real chance he struggles when he gets called. I think we also need to remind everybody that as great as he is hitting, there's a very real chance that he
I pointed out Nick
is
Kurtz
hitting
is hitting like 250
there's
or
a real
something
chance he's hitting 230 or something. I hope not, but like there's a real,
as long as he puts a few out of the ballpark,
real chance
okay
that that's what it, like the idea that he's going to hit 285 and have 25 home runs in you know 70 games of big league is just it's not realistic. If he does that, then we the expectations will continue to go through the roof. But and we'll be talking about multiple, you know, anyway. So I think for the rest of the season, I can get more on board. They still have a chance to be better in all the while, or in construction. Yeah, if they bring up Cags, if they acquire a real outside bat, and if the rotation stays healthy, they hopefully get Lugo Reagan's back.
I'm not asking you the question
right today. I don't know. Right today, I don't think I can get there, man.
Because if you say by the end of the year, then we're having a very different conversation. Because sure. Now I get to fix, because like that's, you know, because we're talking about right now where this team was. Again, I think they were performing better. They were playing better baseball, which happens in sports. Sometimes teams less talented get there. I think at this point last year, there's inarguable because they were 12 games above 500 and that bullpen did stink. And the offense was playing a lot better and the starting pitchers were dominating the way they're dominating right now. They were taking advantage of those things and going in there. And so it kind of makes sense. By the way, over you can always catch the show. YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. We live stream the show for 4 hours every day. You can subscribe over on YouTube. We'll pop to the top of your feed. Someone over Aiden over on YouTube says, "Hey, Gold, I don't know if you know, but Cags is ripping cards live on Fanatics live."
I do know he is.
Gold does know that because he bought into the break despite the fact is it the in the middle of our show. I believe he's actively watching it right now.
It's on. Yeah.
Wow.
Has he pulled anybody from the team?
Some card shop flew to Omaha that he knows and is ripping open two cases of Bowman. And yeah, Cags is on a video stream and I have a spot. I didn't get the Royal spot, unfortunately. Trust me. I tried. I ended up with the twin spot. So
twins. Boy,
there's a couple prospects there. But anyway, long story short, yeah, he is, as you guys know, we rip cards with Cags when we were in Springfield. He's very into the hobby.
And if you see that, that's on YouTube.
It's, yeah, there you can watch that. But yeah, no, I do have it pulled up because I want to see if he pulls anything good. So
you have to go back and listen.
I do have the stream up. Last night, like him and MJ Melendez were on like Instagram ripping packs as well after the game in Omaha. So yeah, there's
he thought he was hooked before. Just wait. MJ Melendez is deep in the game.
Very much so.
So
very much so.
Cags liked cars before.
Who is it that Cags said got into? Was it Drew Waters that he got into? Or that somebody
Drew Beam, one of the guys they just drafted. Yeah,
somebody got full on into it.
Yeah. I mean, there's multiple guys on the team that are into sports cars. But yes, if you were texting and asking, are we aware that he's currently on a live stream ripping cards? Yes.
But don't go to that live stream.
don't.
Watch this one instead.
Yeah, that's right.
You can rewatch that one at 601 for all I care, but not now. We have a live stream and you can watch Alex. He's wearing a Vineyard Vines long sleeve.
Yes.
I'm in a 96.5 The Fan shirt. You can see what we look like in case you didn't know. Yes, we look like regular people. You know, there's nothing extraordinary about it.
That's right. That's right. So Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Has a history on this show.
Yeah, he did this
once. Spent a couple years. He was going to be in Kansas City, or he was in Kansas City for, a Salvation Army charity event, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's what it was. And so they're, hey, he wants to come on and talk football, talk about this great event he's doing. Like, oh, awesome. Heck yeah. We're talking about Terry freaking Bradshaw, for crying out loud. So we're like, sure. So he calls in, and he was on hold for a little bit, and he clearly had heard you talk already, had heard me talk already. And before we could even get into a real conversation,
he was roasting me.
And I think I'm still talking to Alex because the sissy guy hadn't said a word yet.
What? That was me!
Oh, there he is!
And it was from Jump.
Oh, man.
He called you that sissy
little
guy.
Sissy man.
Oh, my goodness.
I haven't heard it from him in a while. But it turns out that maybe Terry Bradshaw is just anti some people. So obviously this Aaron Rodgers saga has been going on with the Steelers. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. Terry Bradshaw is one of the all-time Steeler greats, right?
Sure.
He's on their Mount Rushmore of all-time players. Hell, he's still only one of three players ever to win four or more Super Bowl titles. And so he is, or three? Yeah, just him, Montana, and Brady? I think it's only three. And so,
I think that's correct.
And so, like, you know, he's in a special category. It does not sound like Gold. He is a fan of the idea of Aaron Rodgers coming to Pittsburgh.
What do you think about possibly Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback? That's a joke. He shouldn't. That is just to me is a joke. But what are you going to bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me? I mean,
that's
that
not the Steelers' way, right?
No, man. That guy needs to stay in California and
go somewhere and chew
on bark and. And whisper to the gods out there.
100%. These guys on the show, Mr. Bradshaw, know I'm not a fan of his. We've been around each other personally, and he was not a kind person.
He does not. I had to go over and introduce myself to him. He's not. I had to go, hey, Aaron, I'm Terry Bradshaw. I know he knows me, but I just felt like I better tell him who I am.
Yeah.
And not, you know, you walk in there and you get in his presence and you feel like it's going to start snowing. So.
Yo. Man. man.
What radio station was it? Was this on, by the way?
I don't think it was a radio station. It sounded like an event, wasn't it?
I think it was like an event.
It sounded like somebody had a Southern accent. Yes, you know, they were really drawing it out.
Uh-huh. Normally, you would like your legends of your franchise to endorse the potential moves that you're going to make, and instead, they buried him.
I agree with most of what he said. My only thing would be the whole, like, hey, that's not the Steeler way. You guys have been trotting out Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Mason Rudolph, Dev Hodges, Kenny Pickett. So acting like it's not the Steelers' way. We have, you know, some high-quality quarterback play in the last 15 years. No, Big Ben is it. You haven't had anybody other than Big Ben in the last 15 years. That's it. Everybody else has stunk. You've been mediocre. So acting like
maybe
the Steelers'
way. Bradshaw wants to hold on to his legacy, you know?
Well, for him, sure. Back in the day, I would argue, for sure. Terry Bradshaw does have 4 rings, I think, right? Yeah. But, yeah, chewing on bark.
And he said if you're around him too much, you think it's going to snow?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved it, honestly. Chewing on bark is a great line, I got to be honest. But, like, also, so if Aaron Rodgers goes there was a high likelihood that every Steelers fan was going to hate him anyway because he was going to do, like, Aaron Rodgers stuff.
And they'll embrace him if they sign him. They'll embrace him immediately.
You think they're immediately on board? Well, their hero, their legend.
Yeah.
Terry Bradshaw said, loser, get this guy out of here. We want nothing to do with him.
I think they'll embrace him in regards to, like, obvious, if he's having success and all that. I think, in general, the concept of bringing Aaron Rodgers, there's a lot of Steelers fans that don't want it because they understand that deep down they need a reset. They need to be able to draft a quarterback next year. With Rodgers, they probably will win 9 to 11 games, probably, that range. And that's not going to get you a top pick, and Rodgers is only there for a year. I think that's what fans are not on board with more than it is even the actual quarterback. Although I'll remind you, Aaron Rodgers was average last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the best way to put it. He was, I mean, his stats probably were pretty close to mirroring Mahomes. Nobody was like super excited about that, but he was also doing it. Like, you got to remember, his situation was all garbage time. Like, that team stunk. Every yard he put up was with his team already down 14 to 17 points by the time he was stepping foot on the field and actually putting up numbers. So, like, it mattered even less to go with it. In all the history of, like, players recruiting, I've never heard a former just bury a dude. Bury him in an open public mic setting with no hope.
What do you think about possibly Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback? That's a joke. That is just to me a joke.
That to me is just a joke. I don't even know what I did to Bradshaw, man. Why did he come at me so hard at the beginning of that interview?
He was trying to have fun, and he heard your voice. I guess he didn't like your voice. He was basing it off of how you sounded. He was on hold for, I don't know, a minute, maybe, if that.
Yeah, that was tough.
This was before Drew was with us, obviously, so I don't remember. I think so Nick would have been putting him on hold, and yeah. It was an incredible moment because we were just totally caught off guard, you know?
Yeah, I wasn't you just don't expect this to, like, essentially in the middle of an interview.
And I think I'm still talking to Alex because the sissy guy hadn't said a word yet.
What? That was me!
Oh, there he is!
Wasn't it in the same interview
Wasn't
it the same interview where we were asking about, obviously, somehow barbecue came up because we were talking about him.
And he's yelling his wife
in
the background?
He's like, wait, what's that restaurant? He's yelling to his, I don't remember his wife's name, but he's yelling to the back. He's like, whatever her name was, what was that barbecue place? He's like, that Joe's KC play, I think, was what he ultimately said. But the whole interview was great.
Yelling his wife in the back of the interview. It was a great interview. Love to have Terry back on the show. Very entertaining guest.
Yeah,
I don't. I mean, at least it's not just me. You know, he's taking down Aaron Rodgers too.
All right, let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
So this has been discussed before, but now it's being held in Las Vegas next year. The Enhanced Games. I know you're on board with this.
Oh, we definitely talked about
this. The Enhanced Games, a sports competition where performance-enhancing drugs are not only allowed but encouraged. It finally might happen. This has been talked about for years.
Yeah, this goes back. We talked about the story pitch of this when Nick was still our producer.
This event is finally going to be held in May of next year out in Las Vegas. They are marking it, of course, to remove the stigma of using PEDs and safely push the limits of human athletic performance. They originally announced it in 2023, but it will finally host its first ever edition in May of next year. 8 different events in swimming, so 50, 100-meter race, freestyle butterfly track, 100-meter sprint, 110-meter hurdles, weightlifting, bunch of events. and this is going to actually happen. I don't know if somebody's going to agree to like stream this or something, because that'd be great.
I think this is only interesting if like somebody who hasn't won a gold medal or anything like that breaks like a world record. Like, I need the guy on steroids who couldn't make the Olympic team juicing and running faster now than Usain Bolt.
Now, they said it's not a free-for-all. Like, you still will have to take substances that are legal and prescribed by a licensed doctor. Right? There's plenty of legal substances that you can't take as a baseball player. But they're legal in the U.S., just illegal in terms of being an athlete in that sport.
Sure, like if you just wanted to get yoked, Gold, you could take these steroids legally.
Sure.
But they're saying, like, you can't go find...
In this competition, as long as you got it through a doctor, testosterone, growth hormone, anabolic steroids, you can do that and you can compete in this enhanced games.
Oh, man. So, I mean...
I feel like Jose Canseco, even at his age, is going to try to enter this thing or something.
Honestly, if you're having a good sense of... The problem is that if you want any chance of ever being in the Hall of Fame, you can't do it.
Yeah, that's true.
Because what I want to see... Like, I want to see this in other sports.
Not getting in,
I want to watch some 50-year-old get roided up and slug dingers. I want to see Barry Bonds put the ball over a fence a few more times.
You're saying you would want to see what Mike Trout can do on steroids?
Yes! I want prime athletes who are already great doing this. Again, that's what I said. The only way it becomes interesting is if, like, some dude who, like, came up just short of the Olympics, like, 6 years ago, does steroids in the lead-up to the enhanced games and then beats Usain Bolt's world record.
You want Noah Lyles on steroids to see if he can...
Oh, jeez.
Hell yeah. That's what I want.
You know, that's never happening until after their Olympic career and stuff, so that's the issue.
Course,
but, like, I hear what you're saying. This... Honestly, Netflix should buy the rights to this and just stream it on Netflix. Or maybe it's just got to be YouTube only. Like something. I would watch for about 5 seconds. I think the weightlifting would be boring for me to watch, I'll be honest. Swimming would be interesting. Like, how fast? What does that do? Here's the problem. Michael Phelps was so amazing.
People wouldn't keep doing it if it wasn't helping.
But like, Michael Phelps was so amazing in his prime while not taking illegal substances. There's no way this... average swimmer.
No, he's not beating Michael Phelps.
You know what I'm saying? Like, is it going to really be that impressive for me to watch? Because they're not doing, as you said, they're not doing home run derbies on. They're doing Olympic events, but with these enhanced substances. Like, they're not going to be any. Some of these guys are not going to be better than what the actual athletes that did not take
anything.
Which
makes it more
embarrassing. That's what I need. I need them to appear to be better than, like, if they could just do steroids.
No,
I could watch if Shohei Ohtani was allowed to do steroids, I could watch a 600-foot home run in a real live baseball game. That's what I'm asking for.
To Gold's point, though, I think it might even be... Gold, I don't know if you'd be... So forget the athlete thing. You need, like you, for example, to be put on steroids and see how well you could do.
See, if you could hit a home run.
That, I think, would be more entertaining than you having former athletes or whatever do it. I think
how
regular people do it, I think would be fascinating.
Drop down speed bag punching things at the bar. Gold on steroids for a year, and then he's just like ripping into one of those punching bags, you know?
Yeah.
It's that, or I need somebody who is like, who got busted for steroids in one of these things, who was an Olympic level competitor, seeing if he can break a world, see if he can be the fastest man alive for an afternoon, right? Even if it's on steroids.
For an afternoon, and then he's back to normal after that.
Well, I mean, no one's ever going to give him credit for it because of the steroids.
Yeah, of course.
Weightlifting is probably the craziest one. Well, it's probably the least interesting one to watch.
The SNL skit, the all-drug Olympics. I mean, that's basically what this is.
In response to what its sponsors claim is an idea whose time has come, the first all-drug Olympics opened today in Bogota, Colombia. Athletes are allowed to take any substance whatsoever before, after, and even during the competition. So far, 115 world records have been shattered. We go now to correspondent Kevin Nealon live in Bogota for the weightlifting finals. Kevin.
It goes on from there.
Can you imagine a guy squatting and he's like, hang on a second, I need to inject more into my arm real quick on the side while the competition's going on? It'd be hilarious.
That is the trash of the day. Someone says John Jones is the closest we've ever had to this in an actual. He did have some problems.
Yeah,
he definitely did. All right, up next, we get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Talk more about how big of a year this is for one Patrick Mahomes, and what should the state of Kansas be doing while the special session is about to happen in the state of Missouri when it comes to the stadium funding. That's coming up right here on Cody and Gold.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour.
Brought to you by All Weather Decks. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net. Kansas City's most respected deck builder. We're getting a whole conversation in the break about undrafted free agents. It's so hard. This time of year for the Chiefs sometimes is, who do you feel like hyping up? Do I want to start feeling like, you know, do I want to change my tune on running back and start believing that seventh round running backs are going to work out every time the Chiefs take him? I'm actually way higher on Pacheco can have a big bounce back year than any other combination of the, like, the seventh round guy is going to work out, Steele will come around, Kareem Hunt will be, you know, with them the entire offseason, Elijah Mitchell will stay healthy. No, more than any of those things, the most likely scenario is that Isaiah Pacheco is just healthy and has his bounce back year, and he's a 1,000-yard all-purpose guy like he was his rookie season, And that's good enough for this offense, considering the number of wide receivers.
Yeah, I think we're going to realize that when he came back from the ankle injury last year, that like he was still not fully good to go and ready. He didn't look like the same back.
Not rushed him back, but they brought him back because they didn't have a lot of answers at running back.
The only question I would have for him is, can he stay healthy now that he's getting older and there's more hits on that body? If he is healthy, I'm with you that I think he could be a 850 to 900 yard rushing yard guy this year, and then they will compliment him with others. But yeah, I think people forgot also how effective Pacheco was prior to the ankle injury. But there's also, I think, as long as our expectations are within reason, right? And there's a cap on what he is. He was never, and he's not going to be now, a 1,200 or 1,300 yard back. That's not what he is. Can he be an 8 to 1,000 yard back? I think that's still realistic heading into this season.
Yeah, I don't think it's out of the question. I mean, again, on paper, everyone's healthy, they should.
Someone says no chance he bounces back. He doesn't have the breakaway speed. Again, we're not saying he's bouncing back and being better than ever before.
I didn't say he turned into
he will be the same
Saquon Barkley overnight.
He can be the same back he was prior to the injury. I think that's what we're saying. We're not saying he's going to turn into a better player than he's ever been. No, that would be silly to suggest. We all know that's why.
Honestly, it wouldn't make any sense.
That's why I have an issue with them waiting until the 7th round to draft a running back. I thought they could have spent a higher draft pick and more draft capital on a back that did have that explosiveness.
My own thing is his rookie year, he was pretty much a 1,000-yard all-purpose guy. 830 rushing, 130 receiving. I think he's a better receiving back now than he was then, so that would help him as well. 5 touchdowns. The year after that, he had 935 yards rushing and 7 touchdowns and 244 for 1,179. That's, honestly, all I'm hoping for is that. I don't have some grand plans of the running back room. That's why you and I were very much team take one in the 3rd round. I don't have some grandiose ideas of what the running back room is turning into. I will take 2 years ago, Isaiah Pacheco. Honest to God, I'd probably take 3 years ago, Isaiah Pacheco, a 900 yard rusher with roughly 200 yards out of the backfield in the passing game. That's fine. That's fine with me. I will accept that. Mm-hmm. And then I will eventually ask for an upgrade at running back. But yeah, I'm not trying to turn him into something he's not.
All right, let's get back into Patrick Mahomes a little bit. And this is going to be year 9, which I think you said it in our meeting this morning. In a weird way, it's kind of scary.
That hit a little hard, I got to be honest.
Time flies, man. Time flies. This is why. And they have done this. You got to capitalize while the guy is who he is, right? And healthy, and while you have this quarterback and in your system and all. And they have capitalized, no kidding, right? They've got 3 rings to show for it, and they have absolutely done that. I know people feel like maybe they have not always surrounded him with the most draft capital or free agent money, but to act like they haven't capitalized on having Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback would be an insane thing to say. But yeah, he'll be 30 in September. This will be year 9. And I think because of how the Super Bowl went down, the perception around him is because of the perception around the team, which is, maybe he's just not one of those. Maybe he's not the best quarterback in football anymore. And he's got a chance to go out, as the team does as well, to go and remind everybody in 2025 that, no. I still run this thing.
He doesn't need me making any excuses for him. He's appeared in 5 Super Bowls in 6 years. I think that answers for itself when push comes to shove, there is an ability Patrick Mahomes possessed that very few people possess, especially coupled with Andy Reid, that truthfully, he is kind of an unstoppable playoff monster, because during that time in which the offense has been pretty mediocre, I can pull up his career playoff stats and they are impressive, to say the very least. They're some of the greatest all time. But I do think that this is they need, from the public perception, from a confidence in the offense and the drafting and where things are going, they need the we're putting ourselves back on the map here. Because the last 2 years on offense, and I think there's plenty of reasonable excuses, partially because they haven't had a big running attack, partially because they've had issues on the offensive line. I don't think he's had a tremendous amount of weapons surrounding him the last 2 years because of, one, just bad roster management 2 years ago. Last year, because of injuries and things that you just really can't control. But they have, they have not put enough around Patrick Mahomes. Assuming health at this point, which, I don't know, it's May 28th, so everyone's healthy, Gold, unless you're a Bosa, who's permanently hurt.
You can't take, you can leave the Chargers, but you can't take the Chargers injury history out of your career, and that's what happened. Joey Bosa is going to miss the rest of, until training camp, it sounds like.
And also, this is what happens when you're the Buffalo Bills and you keep trying to solve your defensive line issues by finding a 35-year-old who's still available to play at defensive end. besides that, that's mm-hmm. unimportant.
Yeah.
I do think that there is very much a reason to be like, this is kind of a no excuse here. They put tremendous resources into left tackle. You would think, based on odds, one of the two will work out to be a decent one. We already know what the right side of the line looks like and how capable that is. Right now you have Worthy and Rice and Hollywood and Kelsey back and every, like, there's, it feels like kind of an excuse for a year, barring something taking place that adds that into the element. And a certain amount of injury, I think you just have to take on that water. Last year was probably to the extreme level of that gold, but yeah, I kind of feel like the big statistical year is important to kind of put your name back. I'm going to think at the, he could have another 27 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 4,000 yards. I'm still going to think he's the best quarterback on the planet. You're still going to think he's the best quarterback on the planet because of the Super Bowls alone.
I think a lot of it too is not only the perception around the team, but there's the reality that people get bored very easily now. And what I mean by that is, like, if you, for the first 5 to 6 years in the league, even though he was winning rings and has won since, the highlight plays, like the absurd plays, those haven't been as frequent for some people outside of Kansas City. And instead, they were looking at the shiny new toy, if you will. And that last year, obviously, was Jaden Daniels. It was, you know, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson in terms of their MVP race. And obviously Josh Allen finally got himself an MVP award. So that some of it is just like people, like anything in life, just get bored with something.
Sure.
Outside. And if it's not your guy in this case, and you get tired, and the same reason why people were quote unquote tired of the Chiefs. Like it's the same thing. And that's why I think some of the perception has been that, but they have, based on their schedule, the first half, as we've gone over this the last couple weeks now, they open up in Brazil and all the primetime slots. They play a rematch against the Eagles. If they start 2-0 and on primetime again in Brazil and then against the Eagles, a team that destroyed them in the Super Bowl, if they go out offensively and they're able to protect Mahomes, yeah, and this best case scenario stuff, obviously, protect Mahomes and he goes out and throws for 350 and three touchdowns or something like that in the first two games of the year, Well, then everybody, I think, is right back on board. I'm not talking about in Kansas City, but outside of Kansas City.
Pretty much. So, like, I'm going to tell you post age 30 for Tom Brady, because If I tell you pre age 30, the last 2 years Patrick Mahomes had was Tom Brady's entire career. Wow. The, like, 3,500 to 4,000 yeah. yards and 26 to 30 touchdowns. That's all Tom Brady was until he was 30 years old. He was no different than that. That was his career, which I actually, in a weird way, is kind of important to note, that that's pretty much what Tom Brady did every season before he turned 30, and then everything clicked together. Obviously, they got Randy Moss at age 30 season. He had his huge year where he had 4,800 yards and 50 touchdowns. Mahomes has already put that year on paper, so okay. Tom Brady had a lot of years like this one. At age 32 in 2009, 4,200 yards, 28 touchdowns, 13 picks. Pretty much the same as the last couple of years for Patrick Mahomes. At age 36, 4,200 yards, 25 and 11. He had a year where he had 28 and 13. He had a year where he had 28 and 2, which is kind of a crazy year. He had one at 41. Now he's quite a bit older, 29 and 11, 4,300 yards. So there are plenty of Tom Brady years in which to tip. But the reason why I point this out is he just kept reasserting himself into the conversation. In between all those years, Gold, are years where he had high 30s touchdowns, 5,200 yards, 4,700 yards, led the league in passing, led the league in passing touchdowns, and they're sprinkled in. But like Every once in a while, these great quarterbacks, man, they just kick in the door and they tell the league again, guess what? I'm still Patrick Mahomes and you're still worse than me.
Yeah, and I think that's what it'll take. But also, what's the conversation like if the Chiefs would revisit the Super Bowl again?
The Super Bowl, we're probably not having.
If they would have three-peated and done something that Brady had not done, then I don't think anybody's dissecting the stats as closely or anything like that. And I know that's just how sports conversation works.
And he has set such a high bar, too. That's part of it.
Some of it is just life, right, and how we all discuss sports, right? But if they would have got the three-peat, I don't think anybody's even questioning who the best quarterback in the league is, even though if you and I both agree it's still him, but I don't think there's even a question there.
No, it's funny because like Jaden Daniels, he puts up the same number as Patrick Mahomes last year. Everyone's like, he's going to be the greatest. He's going to be so
great.
He's
new. It's fresh. It's new. You're not sick of it. And that is all part of the equation. I also really do think fantasy football and sports betting has played a role in this. Joe Burrow, fantasy football-wise, was the best quarterback in football last year. And there's a lot of people that look at it like, well, Mahomes only got me 18.5 points in fantasy football this week. this other guy got me 29 points, depending on your scoring or whatever. And like that, and there's that psychology of like people just assuming that means that guy's the better quarterback the entire season because their fantasy football team was better.
It's so
with
crazy
that quarterback.
Because like factoring in that one game, so he played 9 playoff games before that game, in which they won back-to-back Super Bowls gold, as we've talked about, and then had a chance for the three-peat, right? Had a real opportunity. So he had played 9 postseason games, or one trying to win, trying to do the thing Tom Brady had never done. So before the Eagles Super Bowl, he'd played 9 straight games in 3 playoff runs. He had 70% completion, 15 touchdowns, 1 interception, 258 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns. He was, in those 9 games, nearly perfect. He was a nearly perfect football player, averaging 280 yards a game, doing whatever the hell the man wanted, doing exactly what I'm talking about during the stretch. He put up one mediocre, I'll say, playoff game in which their offensive line and everybody struggled, and they just got their ass kicked against Philly. And it's just like, it's weird to say in a regular season, turn that on. I see that during the playoffs. What I can't figure out is, and I still think that this is an Andy thing. Drew had mentioned this in the first one. They come off like they're almost bored with these regular season games where they almost don't feel like stat stuffing. And part of Drew mentioned was because they're so good on defense. I am convinced part of the reason Patrick Mahomes' statistical seasons look worse than they are is that Andy Reid does not care in any way to win with any amount of flash. That man will just do
just
anything
win. Just win.
To just win. That's it. And so, like, if he's got to grind
that
out
is the end goal. That is the end
it's
goal.
Not a bad thing.
But it makes things way tougher on yourself. Your margin for error is way tougher. This was the whole one-score game metric that everybody was bringing up last year, right? Like, you can't sustain doing that. And they did last year. They won 15 games. They made it to a Super Bowl. Obviously, it's not something that you're not going to win 35 one-score games in a row or something. I think we all recognize that. So by that logic, yes, you're correct. They can't sustain that. Yeah. But also, to what extent is the drop-off? Instead of winning 15 because they lose 3 more close games, they're a 12-win team? Like, that's what I'm saying. Is like, what's the floor because of that? I don't think this team, and the numbers are on my side with this, under Andy Reid, whether it was Alex Smith or Patrick Mahomes, this team has won fewer than 10 games one time. We won fewer than 11 games, I think, once or twice under Andy Reid.
Yeah. Under Patrick Mahomes, the lowest they've won is 11.
Correct.
I don't know if it's a regular season floor. It's a postseason floor of they get too comfortable, and Andy's like, yeah, we're just going to win the game the way we have all season long, and the one time that it screws him over is in the divisional round.
He does turn it on a little bit in the playoffs.
But they've been to
AFC, their point, like,
they've been to 7 straight AFC title games. And
overtime in the AFC title game is the worst they've done in a season, man. That's when I think the real narrative shift gold on any of this would be if Patrick Mahomes lost in a divisional round. But it's hard to imagine because he's never done that.
I know that that's the case, but I'm just saying, like, the floor for them in terms of not taking things for granted, but, you know, playing it too safe is like the Ravens game where it's 17-9 and you got to rely on Lamar Jackson throwing into a triple team at the end of the game to win the game. Like, I just, if you have a chance to go and extend the game and go for it on a 4th-and-2 from the 35-yard line, instead of kick a field goal to go up 6 instead of 3, then you can go for it and just bury the hatchet
It's just hard to argue with the results, to Gold's point. And that's where we run into an issue.
Correct, 100%.
Burnham, I mean, they've been in 5 Super Bowls in 6 years and won a bunch of them. And
yeah, I don't think you can.
And I know you're not, you're not doing this, Drew, but the scenario you're describing is what every fan outside of Kansas City has just been waiting for that moment to pounce. Yeah. They lost in the Super Bowl, everybody's like, see, I told you they can't keep this up.
Yeah.
And so it's what you're describing would be the same thing this year. Like, I told you that they didn't do enough. Like, eventually, somebody, you again in this hypothetical, would be 100% correct. There will be a time again. I don't know when. It could be this year. It could be 8 years from now. There will be a time again where the Chiefs are not in an AFC title game. I don't know if it's this year. I don't know if it's 5 years from now. I don't know if it's 10 years from now. But yes, eventually that point will be correct that it got them and they didn't make it to an AFC title game. Yeah. I don't know when that's going to be.
But I don't know if it's going to be if they got them as in they just lost a football game.
For sure.
For the first time in a gajillion years.
People will be waiting to pounce though, right? Yeah. People will be waiting to pounce and say, see?
I just wonder what the conversation's going to be in terms of, if they lose in the division round, is it all of a sudden, is everything going to flip where everybody says, you know what, maybe they do need to get rid of Nagy and they need to make this change and they need to make this change and they need to do this.
I can't answer that, though, because
of them losing a game earlier.
I can't answer that, though, because I have no idea. Was the defense awful all year?
There's more context than
I'm
sure.
I get what you're saying. It's probably not as simple as that, right? Did they lose because all year they were the worst running team in football? Was it because their left tackle situation was just as bad?
Right.
Because Chris Jones got hurt and McDuffie got hurt, and so the whole defense sucked. I have no idea.
It's like everyone's healthy and they just had like a big down season. Yeah, big changes would come because people have big expectations.
I know it's a bad comp, but I think it's similar to the Steelers thing of they're hanging on to Mike Tomlin and they're just hanging on. And the Chiefs, they're winning, so they're just hanging on to how they do things because they keep winning, and there's no reason to change. Yeah. But as soon as they do, does it actually...
I just don't think it can be called hanging on when you're just going to and winning Super Bowls.
Yeah, I know. It's probably a bad phrase, but
they're sticking to their plan as they should.
hanging on to those 15 win seasons, that's what I meant.
Sticking to the plan, yes.
They should, probably at that point. Meanwhile, in the Missouri State Legislature next week, you and I talked about that the governor had called for a special session.
Yeah, Monday.
They will try to get money for the sports team so that we can finally have the age-old question of where will the Chiefs and Royals be playing football and baseball, I don't know, 5 years from now, ideally, or less, outside of the city. I was wondering a little bit on this because it feels like everyone's been kind of playing. Everyone's trying to keep their cards close to the vest, which you should in this scenario. Shouldn't Kansas be doing whatever they can on the planet for the next 5 days to try to steal one of these teams before Missouri gets anything done? On the off chance Missouri's legislator actually passes something that they need to fund something that they're trying to fund, shouldn't you as Kansas be hyper aggressive now and not risk Missouri getting it together for the first time in 2.5 years in this situation?
So I'd argue they have been. Why in the next 5 days? I get what you're
like. Are you thinking they're already forcing their hand because of we're not extending the star bonds thing?
One, the star bonds expire in June, and they have said to this point they're not extending it. So to me, that is creating a little bit of a deadline. The other part is
we also don't all believe them. I think they would extend them.
They're not going to be like, nope, sorry, you missed your chance to come to Kansas.
Of course,
but it's all leverage and everything. Yeah. I'm with you. But in terms of the waiting on Missouri kind of thing, remember that the teams also want to see what Missouri is going to be able to fully offer them too. So yes, the teams know exactly what they can get from Kansas. That's not even a debate anymore. So Kansas being aggressive, these are the financial options for
so
you
does this
to come
mean
to Kansas.
That they this don't is, actually that nobody actually wants to go to Kansas because well, think, by now, yeah. Why didn't someone just take their money? Why didn't the Chiefs or the Royals just take Kansas' money? It's been sitting out on the table for a year.
Because from a PR end, it would also be like, hey, we tried and you guys didn't even give us close.
At this point, I think everybody would pretty much play that card anyway.
But if the stadium bill doesn't pass next week or in the special session in Missouri, then I don't know how on earth you would be able, people will try to, but how would you be able to blame either team for leaving if one is offering you 75% and the other is offering you 30%?
It depends on what you think the city's going to get. But yeah, certainly.
Rough numbers.
Understand.
Yeah.
Vaguely. Because both situations rely on unknown county money, right?
Yeah.
You know what the state's giving you gold, but both Clay and Jackson or the Legends, Wyandotte, whatever, it's unknown county money still that would need some sort of passage.
913-586-7965. This one from the 816. Kansas needs to sit down, shut up, and work on getting a team in Wichita. Them trying to poach our teams is despicable. Your station shouldn't even be in Kansas.
They want us to move stations now?
They want us to be in Missouri, not in Kansas.
The next person said Kansas is Siberia. Only 10% of the state is habitable? There's just no way. We got a couple of Missourians on this side.
Let me clear up the confusion. They're not moving the team to Hayes, America, okay? They would be moving, if they went to Kansas, to KCK or Overland Park or something.
We're going to take a shot at Hayes. What'd they ever do to you?
Somewhere out west.
Colby.
Goodland.
Goodland. That's
Garden
way
City.
Out there.
Whatever, you know?
You can't choose a really small town, so we can't risk offending anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Smallest towns in Kansas. Let me just... Mayetta. They're not going to turn into Mayetta.
I think it's Mayetta.
Mayetta?
Dang. Yeah, that's up north. North of Topeka. That's where the Prairie Bank Casino is.
Colorado, I know, because that's right on the border.
There you go.
We're going to take it pretty much all the way to Colorado.
Jeez. Yeah.
There's going to be someone on the text that'd be like, my grandma grew up in Buckland. Like, okay, fine. Sorry that I offended you. And it's 371 acres. It's not even listing people. Just tell me.
Sounds unincorporated or whatever, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to say for sure. This is just a news article from a year ago that says the least populated towns in Kansas.
Yeah.
I think it's, isn't it weird for someone to say Kansas is trying to poach their teams?
Well, they are. I mean, they are.
But it's Missouri's fault that they're trying to poach them because you've had all these.
It just depends.
Point,
I think you could
there.
Just as easily, like, yeah. depending on which side of the argument, Andrew, you could just blame billionaires. No, the billionaires are doing this.
Yeah,
they
the guys
could
in
just
suits,
pay,
of course.
They could just pay for things and not move states and keep the teams where they are, but they want money, so they're. Yeah.
The thing is, they're not leaving the Kansas City area. The thing, either way, neither team is leaving the Kansas City area. And I know there will be a few of you out there that will refuse to ever go to a game that's not in your state. And I'll just reiterate what I've said 100 times about this. And literally it might be 100 times because we've been talking about this for 3 years.
Kansas versus Missouri now.
Yeah. My entire life, I have gone to sporting events in Missouri. It has not been a problem for me. Literally. I've lived on the Kansas side. Cody has lived on the Missouri side.
No one's asking you to choose where you want to live. You like living on the Kansas side or the Missouri side better?
Sure.
No one's saying you have to move.
Yeah. I have spent plenty of money on sporting events and other events in the state of Missouri. If one of the teams is in Kansas and one is Missouri, I will still go to Missouri for one of the teams, and I will gladly just drive over to one of the Kansas teams. And I know for some of you, it's not as simple as that. We've discussed the economic issues with one of the teams or both leaving Jackson County, Missouri. Those are real. I'm not saying you should be happy about those. Those are real challenges. It's why hopefully they can get things figured out on that end. But in terms of a sports fandom aspect, whether the team is in Kansas or Missouri, acting like you will no longer cheer for the Kansas City Chiefs or the Kansas City Royals, whether it is Kansas City, Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri, Overland Park, Clay County, North KC, like, is something that some of you, I think, are just lying to yourselves. There's a few of you that I think deep down will actually commit to never going. And I would say is I don't think they're going to struggle to find people to go to games.
This sounds like rude, but they won't care.
Yeah.
It'll suck for you, but, like, the teams won't. They won't even shed a single tear, like, you know, in the littering ad. Nothing. They won't. Care. They won't care. They'll just replace you with a fan who hasn't been going to the games, who lives deeper on the Kansas side or whatever, right? They just, it's a cold, harsh reality probably, but it's also just what it is.
All right, up next, we will get to what's trending and we'll talk a little bit more about where the Royals are at and somebody and something that has to be discussed more than just the players not performing. That's coming up right here on Coding Gold.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music,
or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.